Hello and welcome to Deep Down Low podcast. So I'm James, I'm the host, and I'm going to be chatting with Dylan James, who's a very talented DJ and producer. He's held residencies in BCM Magaluf and Sunny Beach in Bulgaria, as well as many places across the UK. So without further ado, please welcome Dylan James. Okay, so Dylan, nice to have you here, although I'm at your house, it's a bit weird. But yeah, so essentially a lot of people out there, they see you and they're like, wow, that's amazing, I want to be a DJ or producer.
Yeah.
So this interview really is about how you can give your advice and your insights on how it's like to be a DJ.
Alright, cool.
So I've got a few questions for you here. So what I'm going to say now is I'm going to ask you to summarise the highlights of your life so far in 30 seconds, and only you know it.
Hell.
So okay. Rather than doing a live story in 5 hours, do the highlights in 30 seconds. From when you were born to this current moment in time.
Wow.
In 30 seconds. Are you ready?
Okay.
I'll give you about 5 seconds to have a think now.
I just pick moments.
Yes.
But
You got here from a series of moments. Tell us what they were. So is that
alright?
So I'm absolutely shy with iPhones.
Alright, no, it's locks on its own.
Right, ready?
30 seconds.
3, 2, 1, go.
Well, going through school wasn't much, to be honest. I started getting into music production. And you know, it was good that people were liking it. When I was 18, I booked a one-way flight to Magaluf. Couldn't find any DJ work, managed to find DJ work. Then I got off to gig in Bulgaria. A big highlight of that was like just coming into a resort, 18-year-old kid just seeing yourself on billboards and stuff. Then from Bulgaria, I went back to Magaluf in a really good club, DJing with my idols. And then I got scouted, going to Ibiza, producing, and then that's it.
Nice!
That's all I can do, man.
Yeah, decent. Okay, that's a good summary of that.
Alright.
Decent, nice. So yeah, you've done a summary of your life in 30 seconds. Pretty good, by the way.
Cheers.
Flying wasn't mentioned. What happened to flying?
Oh, well, in the context of DJing, it's...
right.
But, I mean, flying's a big deal for me. It really is. But, as I said, that's something I keep separate to music.
Right.
They will intertwine in the future, I think.
Okay, sweet. Good to hear.
Yeah.
So what's your situation at the moment? Where are you a resident anywhere? I know this, but I'm just asking now, obviously.
Alright, okay.
But, have you got any tracks coming out? What's your situation right now?
I've currently got a residency in Manchester. In Fifth, and I got a few other residencies as well.
Fifth Avenue,
the nightclub Fifth, yeah. And then aside from that, I'll be doing one-off gigs wherever I sort of get booked to play. So that's pretty much the DJ side. In the summers, I go to Magaluf.
Nice.
Well, that's what I'm going to do this summer. And maybe some other resort as well, back and forth. Ibiza as well, producing, and I'll be DJing in Boomerangs this summer.
I was in the same place you went to last year.
Yeah, I'll be coming back for a second year. Yeah. But as I said, I usually go around, you know, a lot of different resorts. You know, I've done Bulgaria as well, which is sick. And this is what this is all about, just getting a lot of new content up there, a lot of new music. hopefully it's going to sound good. And you should be expecting some tracks to come out maybe within the next few months.
So, what's your favourite genre of music? Obviously, you do a lot of dance and house and that, and you do minimal house, but as I've seen on your trailer, that's quite sort of bouncy.
Yeah, honestly, I got asked this in an interview the other day, and I just can't pick a favourite genre. I genuinely can't. I love music too much to, you know, because it's so diverse, and it's, the genres converge in ways that we can't really identify them. You know, there could be a track which sounds a bit like this, but it's actually this.
That's true.
You look through my YouTube playlist, I'm listening to Madonna, Roy Orbison, you know, Enrico Sangliano, techno. It's a complete spectrum. So as I said, there's no genre, but in terms of what I produce, it is centered on house music, and I'm really into progressive minimal techno at the moment, which is good.
Okay, cool. What's your next track gonna be like?
Well, my next track or my next release, because I've got
your next release.
The next release.
One that's gonna be publicly available.
So I don't know exactly what's happening with it yet. I think it's going to be an EP, so there's going to be two tracks coming out at the same time.
Cool.
It's a bit of a tech house track. I can give you a little preview if you want.
A lot of bass on that. Wow. I hope that the bass is audible. on this podcast. And
yeah.
This, but yeah.
As oh I God. Said, there was a lot of sort of
good that.
Yeah, there was a lot of refinement. That's not even mastered yet. So.
Wow. So on a sort of side note, obviously you got the flying on the side. Yeah. Has this always been your dream, or what's it intertwined? What's the sort of connection with the flying side?
Well, okay, yeah. So like all through school, I wanted to be a pilot. That was my main ambition since I was a really young kid. And it was all I could ever see myself doing. And then I sort of dabbled in music production, and one thing led to another, and I didn't end up taking the aviation career path, but my love of flying never really died.
So you've still got it now, you're still sort of obsessed
with
it.
Yeah, and you know, when I got back to university, I was able to save a bit. Yeah, but I'm flying again, you know, now I'm getting my license, and I'm hoping that I can bring flying into what I do as a DJ.
You know,
in the future, when I get my PPL.
How would you do that? What would you do? Like,
well, you know, I can share a bit, I can just say, you know,
no, I'm gonna ask you.
You know, there's gigs, and some gigs are further away than others.
Yeah.
I drive.
True.
You know, fly there, and I think it'd be a pretty fun, cool thing to do, because I'm doing two things that I love. Obviously, you know, there is ramifications, as you know, as a pilot yourself, with ale, or not, I wouldn't be able to drink, I wouldn't be able to, you know, stay up too late and stuff.
Only five shots maximum, I'm joking.
five shots before the flight.
That's it.
Yeah, but as I said, so, you know, I'm really open, that can be an avenue to explore.
Okay, cool. So, if someone said to you right now, what's it like to be a DJ? You've heard that question a million times, but what's the best response? Saying, not the positives, not the negatives, but a bit of a range. What's it like being a DJ?
The highs are highs and the lows are low. That's pretty much the best way to simplify it. You're at one moment you're on top of the world, and it is the best feeling ever when you're in complete, you know, you're loving life.
Yeah, yeah.
And then on the flip side, you will hit a brick wall or a moment where it all goes pear-shaped.
Right.
And you've just got to deal with it, you know.
Right.
And that's the industry, you know. That's, that's life.
That's in a lot of different industries, isn't it?
Exactly really? That, so. Yeah. You know, it's just not just exclusive to DJing, but with DJing, there is a very big range between happiness and very bad sadness.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. Okay.
But other than that, it's the best thing I've ever done.
What's the highlight of your life so far as a DJ?
Wow.
Do you have a moment that you can like share?
Probably doing the Manchester Academy was great.
Yeah. When was that? How many years ago?
It was a few months ago. It was I think it was in October. October 29th. I think
I remember you posting that actually.
Yeah, that's where that video's from. You know, just I think the biggest highlight of my life as a DJ so far, which I mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
I think it was when I got a residency in Bulgaria.
Yeah.
And I was like an 18-year-old kid.
Yeah.
I land in this country on the other side of Europe. And
it's like, big, what the hell am I doing now? Sort of thing. Yeah.
There's a big billboard of me outside, and I'm just like, I'd never seen anything like that before. Like, you know, when. To see that after, you know, so many years of rejection, you know, working really hard, it sort of felt like a bit like, wow, okay, this is
surreal. This is my face on that billboard sort of thing.
Yeah, and you know, it doesn't seem real, and you just turn up and you see it and you're like, I can't believe it.
Was that worth it based on all the work that you had to do previously?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, undoubtedly. As I said, the bad moments are minimal compared to the great ones.
Yeah.
In reflection anyway. But I mean, when it's happened, it doesn't really seem like it, but
yeah,
you know.
Okay, decent. So can you tell me a bit more about, obviously we covered the highs and the lows, do you have any particular moments of those times that you can relate to now, how you got here? So like your first song release, your first XYZ, first DJ set. Tell me a bit about
it. Like my first label release, I was like 17.
Wow.
And it was a Swedish label, Switzerland.
I
was going
to enough.
Called Up Records.
Okay.
And it was a track called Vibe. And they sort of reached out to me, asked if they could sign it, and they did. And that was great. And the thing I loved about it as well is because everybody, you know, in school and stuff were like talking, you know, like, oh, that's so cool.
Yeah,
You know, wow. Mad.
Still at school and you get a sort of label release.
Yeah, I mean, like, for me it was a massive deal back then. I mean, looking back now, it's, you know, it wasn't as big as I thought it was.
Right.
Like, do you know what I mean? But
it gave you motivation, gave you a kick.
Yeah.
It's like,
you know, and I think when I got scouted this summer, sort of in Maga, when Grass to come to Ibiza, that was just surreal because, you know, these were actually like big guys. You know what I mean? And this wasn't like a small scale thing. Like, I only realised that after I sort of got to Ibiza.
Yeah.
I sort of knew a bit, but
you saw the scale of it when you arrived.
Yeah. When I got there, I was like, this is serious now. You know, this isn't like hobby stuff. Jesus. And yeah, it sort of takes you back a bit, but at the same time, it's a really cool thing.
So how did you get your first DJ gig then? From the moment you practiced in your room, God, on these decks behind me?
I don't really think I should tell anybody this story. I think people know. Well, okay. Alright. I was young.
Right.
I'm not going to say how old I was, but I wasn't old enough to be doing what I was doing, and I somehow managed to get into a nightclub.
Yeah.
Using whatever I had to do to get in.
Exactly, yep.
You know, wasn't the club's fault, it was my fault completely, but I was a kid.
Okay.
And wasn't a very good DJ. You know, I'd done a bit here and there, like in parties and stuff, but I didn't have a clue really.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't a club DJ, but obviously I started swinging it about.
You knew the basics of it, so.
Yeah. I knew enough.
Yeah.
Just about, just scraping it. And so I went to the DJ. I was like, hey mate, I'm a DJ. I'm local, like, you know, I'm looking for work. And somehow, by some divine miracle, they actually had an opening.
Wow.
And it was a pretty decent club in my hometown.
Yeah. So you're on hometown, where is that? Obviously you're Welsh, but
where about? Tydfil.
Okay.
And then, you know, they offered me a residency after that one night, my first night.
That's mad. So you did one set, and from that, you got residency.
Yeah, it was on rotation with another DJ coming in and out.
Yeah,
It was for the most part a Saturday residency, which was great.
How did that feel as soon as, like, you found out news that you're a resident there? Something pretty cool.
Scary.
Yeah.
Because I was like, what?
Why? You felt like you don't deserve to be there, or something.
Because, like, I finished the set, and, like, obviously I won a club DJ. Like, I didn't know if it went good or bad.
Yeah.
Like, is this good? Did I do good? Honestly, I didn't do amazing, but it was good enough.
Yeah.
So then when I got a text, him saying, like, can you come this Saturday? I was like, oh, God. Like.
Yeah. Must have been all right then, sort of thing. Yeah.
Yeah, it was good. Like, it was a good laugh. And, you know, I was getting paid as well, which was cool. Because I don't think I'd ever done a paid gig before that. No one paid to listen to me DJ, so I was like, wow, okay, this is special.
True.
And yeah, it was a good feeling.
Decent. How would you compare? Obviously, when you were a kid, you may have dreamed, aside from the pilot dream, you dreamed of being a producer, a DJ, like playing in front of loads of people. You've done that, haven't you? You've played for a decent crowd, haven't you?
Yeah.
What's the biggest crowd you've played towards?
I'd say about 1,000.
1,000 people?
Yeah, about 1,000.
And it's just you behind the decks playing to 1,000 people?
Yeah.
That's cool. Okay, sweet. Decent. So, how does the reality compare to how you dreamt of it? Is it better? Is it worse? Or is it the same?
It's different. Different to what I imagined.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when I was growing up and I imagined myself DJing to what was a big crowd.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be, you know, I'm going to play whatever I want, they're all going to love it and jump to it. You know, the more you sort of get into it, you realise, you know, you can't just, you've got to really, you know your music and sort of know the crowd. And there's a lot more to it than just playing music. In terms of music production as well, I don't know.
Is that a hard comparison?
It's a hard comparison because I never thought I was going to get anywhere with music.
Right.
I never did. I did. I thought, when I first started, I thought I'm going to be famous. I thought my tracks were incredible.
Yeah.
They were awful. And then I reached a point where I became very self-critical, and that's when all the rejection happened.
Right.
And I thought, you know, like, no one's going to even want my music, I'm just going to keep doing it because I like doing it. But
so it's because you kept doing it because you like doing it, rather than to get famous, that's the reason you're here now.
Hit the nail on the head.
Right.
That was it, you know, it was only that I started producing with passion without any end goal that things started materialising. So this is why now I don't have any goals whatsoever. A lot of people do have goals, but when you make goals and you make plans, you kind of set yourself up for a possible disappointment.
Yeah.
Do everything with passion and love and... then
what you want to do with it, and then people who like it come to you, sort of thing.
Anything that comes with it then is a bonus, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, that's what this was. And,
okay, cool. Pretty well summarised that.
Yeah.
So, would you say, talking about goals and where you are now, would you say you've made it as a DJ and producer, or?
No. Far from. I'm, like, it's, you know, I'm not where I want to be.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not planning, you know, I've not got a particular vision in my mind of where I want to be, really.
Right.
But if you were to tell me, like, this is as good as it gets, I wouldn't be happy.
Right, okay.
You know what I mean?
You'd want to hit higher highs than you've hit so far.
Yeah, of course. That's where it is, you know. It's kind of like a drug.
Yeah.
You know, I've done gigs which I thought I'd never do, and then when I've done them, there was a feeling of, like, this is sick, and then I was just like, right, well, I want to do something better now. And then and it will never stop.
So is it your mindset that you want more, like, progression?
Yeah.
Some people are fine, like, with what they're doing at the moment, but can you not do that?
I'm not able to do it, no. It's the same with everything in life.
Yeah.
Everything. Like, this is why it takes me ages to finish tracks, because I'm never happy. I'm never satisfied.
You always want more, you always think you can do, yeah.
For example, my biggest goal was to get my NPPL,
yeah,
which is the National Pirates Players License.
Yeah.
And that's all I wanted. And I was like, if I get that, I'm going to be so happy. And now I've nearly got it, I'm like, well, now I want my PPL. And then when I get my PPL, right, I'm going to want my CPL.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to want my instructor's license, just for the sake of it.
Yeah.
And that's never going to stop. And I sort of realise that now.
Yeah.
So I may as well just embrace it and just keep trying, I guess. But
Is it like the kick that you get from succeeding at the next thing you push yourself to, or what is it that keeps you going?
Well, it's like if you do something and you get that kick as it is,
yeah,
and then you know if that kick's all you're gonna get, the kick will become boring.
Yeah.
After a very short amount of time, I get bored really fast with anything. So, like, it's just finding the next best thing.
Okay.
And it's a bad mentality to have. Honestly, it can be a very bad mentality to have in terms of, you know, personal stuff.
Yeah.
It's, you know,
like, you're looking at what you haven't done rather than what you have done.
Yeah.
In order to sort of try and push yourself there.
Yeah, because, like, you know, there's always just complete self-criticism.
Yeah.
Everything, and I love it.
Yeah.
I love being the way I am because, like, I know I'm just never going to be, like, doing nothing, I guess. I don't know. Hopefully.
Yeah, that makes sense, yeah. A lot of people like that.
I'd rather be like this than, you know, satisfied and content with life, I guess.
that's fair enough. So, what would you advise people to be like that or not, if people want to get to where you are
now?
No,
of course
not.
I mean, absolutely not. This is just my mentality. You know, whatever works for you.
Yeah.
You know, if you're a DJ and you've got a goal and you've got a vision and you've got a path and then you reach it, you know, and you don't want to do it, that's fine. You know, you've smashed it, you've done it.
Yeah.
I just physically can't. I will never be happy with what I've got.
Yeah.
And that's bad. It is bad. But, no,
but you can find some sort of happiness enough to be okay with it. But obviously you're searching for more, you're like, okay.
Exactly that, yeah. Like, if you're talented and you're persistent and you're not an idiot, like, and I don't mean an idiot.
Like, you've got some talent, basically, yeah.
Yeah, I don't mean an idiot in a stupidity sense. I mean, you know, being a genuinely sound person.
Yeah.
That will get you a lot
like personality better. Rather than, yeah, like, cleverness.
The biggest thing I learned in this industry was that personality matters more than anything.
Yeah.
Absolutely anything.
To be likable.
Yeah, to be a likable person. And I think I'm unlikable at times, like, don't get me wrong, because I can be a bit of an arse, but, it's like the people who are nice and genuine are the people that people want to work with.
Right.
And you know, if you're an arsehole, even if you're talented, no one's gonna want to book you. No one's, because it's just gonna be around people like that. You know. There's a lot of talented DJs who's coming to the scene. Very good, extremely talented, borderline genius, but their personalities are awful.
Yeah.
And they just go because they think they're something they're not, and they will never become what they think they are.
Yeah.
And that's life.
So, moving on to funny stuff now.
Yeah.
What's the weirdest thing or funniest thing you've experienced, or a load of things as a DJ? What are some weird things?
Weird things. Honestly,
on the spot here, but you know.
Yeah, when I do seasons abroad, I just get up to a lot of weird shit. Like, DJing is a part of what I do when I'm working abroad.
Like in Magaluf, just chill on the beach sort of thing, yeah.
Yeah, like, you know, you're in after parties. It's not funny, but I've had stuff thrown at me. Drinks, people.
Okay.
Put their hands over the decks and turned off the equipment.
Like, serious?
Oh yeah, it happened a few times, about three times it's happened, where somebody's put their hand over the box. The funniest thing, which wasn't funny at the time,
right? Okay.
Was this summer. My days, I didn't even, I feel sick thinking about it, but I was DJing in Magaluf, and we have like, where the DJ box is, it's on like a stage, and we have like a railing which comes over.
Oh yeah.
Because people throw stuff.
Right.
And you know, yeah, cool, like we didn't really have any problems with it. But one night, some guy climbed up on the stage, put his head over the railing, and spewed over all the computers and equipment.
Are you serious?
And I didn't even know it happened. I didn't even realise until I smelled.
Oh my god.
Until I smelled it. And so I didn't even see him do it, and I was thinking, I could smell something. I looked up, and I could see like the stage clear. And I was like, okay. And I could just see this guy lying on the glass thing we had, the glass railing.
Yeah.
And sick running down.
Okay.
And so I looked to the left, and then there was just all this sick, and I was like, wow. And the thing is, I couldn't like stop playing.
Yeah.
So I have to just carry on DJing with the sick next to me within like.
And how many were in there? How many was it? Just you?
At the time, there was about 300-400 people in the club.
No, as in like in your booth, like.
Was it was just me.
Just you.
But we have to get a cleaner in. The guy who cleans all the stuff, and he sort of came in.
But while you were doing the set.
Yeah. You gotta be professional. I couldn't just stop the music as much as I wanted to. You know, I didn't want to play anymore after that.
Was any of it on your sliders or anything?
No, it wasn't. Oh, because Like, so the decks were there and all the computers were there.
Oh, right.
So you still have all the computers, which is bad.
Yeah.
But didn't touch my decks.
But you could just continue playing while it was being cleaned. It just stunk quite a bit.
Just smelled horrible.
So, okay, so this is quite a deep question now. But, yeah. What have you learned about yourself while getting here as a DJ producer? What have you learned about yourself?
I'd say, you know, what I've learned about myself, it sort of goes back to what we said earlier, is the fact that I've sort of learned that I'll never be, like, you know, completely satisfied with what I do. In a good way.
So that all applied to different things while just DJing, yeah.
And, you know, DJing was what taught me that, because, you know, there was a point where my biggest goal was to get a spot in that nightclub that I did as a kid.
Right, oh yeah, yeah.
You know, and then when I got there, I was like, oh, I'll do something else now.
Yeah.
And at the time I didn't realise it, but that was that. And, you know, and now I'm at this stage where I'm nowhere near, like, you know, high up, I don't think, or where I should be.
Yeah.
And I don't feel like I've accomplished anything more. I know I've done cool shit.
Yeah.
But I don't feel like, you know, I've
you've done what you can do, potentially. Yeah,
that's it. I don't feel like I've done what I can do.
Okay.
And I never will. And I also learned about myself. Well, I've learned just to tolerate people less.
Okay.
As weird as that sounds.
In what way?
Like, just if somebody fucks you over, don't give them a chance to do it again, ever.
So be more selective of the people that you trust.
Basically. Yeah, because there's a lot of people in this industry who are literally in it for themselves, like most people in the world are.
Right.
And they will try and have you, like, when you least expect it, and they will act like your best mate, and then when they get an opportunity, you know, they'll try and take your gig or try and undercut you or just try and fuck you, like, and you know, you've just got to see them coming.
Right, okay.
So that's what I've learned about myself, but that's what I've sort of learned to deal with.
Yeah, okay. More. It's like help yourself going forward, like not relying on people who you can't rely on, basically.
Yeah, but I mean, I've also learned great things, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, I've also learned that, you know, enjoyment comes from hard work, and, like, you know, there's a lot more to life.
Yeah.
There's so much more to see out there. You know, I've learned, like
travelling that, haven't you?
Yeah, like, you know, I've learned different things about different parts of the world. I've met the most amazing people I could ever meet from the industry, the nicest people, the greatest people, like, genuinely.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've learned that people are, like, you know, people are nice, like, people, you know, people, there are people out there besides the ones I mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
They really do want to push you in the best view, and they've become family.
You know,
genuinely, I've become family to you, and I thank them for everything.
Yeah, sweet.
But, yeah.
So, in terms of what you plan for the future, do you have any, like, what is the one, where can you imagine yourself? Like, I'm trying to get here, like, Creamfields, Tomorrowland, Ultra, do you imagine yourself at playing at them?
I'd love to, I mean, you know.
You're not going to say no, are you?
Yeah, I wouldn't. I'm not going to say, like, I will do it, because I don't know, but I could stop just producing music tomorrow.
Could you?
Yeah, no, I couldn't. But it could happen. I could become deaf or something, so... Okay. That's all I can say is I'd like to, and in a few years I'd like to be, you know, in a position where, you know, maybe touring or something like that. I want to be in a position, you know, sooner to be done.
Open, you've not really got a set.
Yeah, I've not really got a set of things. You know, I'd like to do this stuff. I'd like to do as every DJ would, but I'm not thinking I've got to do this.
I'm not,
so,
obsessed,
you know,
with getting there, sort of thing.
Yeah, just I think the biggest thing people need to learn is, you know, enjoy the journey.
Yeah,
that's the best part.
Yeah,
the best part of being on the mountains, climbing it. Really.
Being like on the moment rather than living for 2 years down the line.
You know, if you just look ahead, you know, you're not learning, you're not enjoying the process. You're just driven to this goal, and then when you reach it, what? Okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Cool.
Okay. So next question is: if I was to hand you, I wish I could do this, but if I was to hand you £1 million now,
I wish too.
To stop DJing and stop everything music related. And do another job, maybe office related or something completely different. Not even flying, just something aside from music.
Oh, £1 million.
£1 million, would you not?
God, no. Never, no.
No.
Why? Because money is not important at all in that context. Like,
so you're not doing it for money?
No, absolutely not. Like, I'm just doing this for, like, doing it. I'd rather live a life that I enjoy than a life where I'm financially stable.
Yeah.
Because that's not going to make you happy, really.
No.
I mean, I'd be happy if you gave me £1 million. I'll ask sacrifice, of course not. I wouldn't enjoy getting up, you know. I love just sitting here and working with music and being creative and buzzing off myself.
Right.
You know, I love going to the airfield and flying, like, you know, money doesn't buy that. Like, money can't, like, do that for you.
No.
You know, in the physical sense.
Yeah.
It can help you do it.
Yeah.
But
it's a tool, but not as the final thing.
Yeah, it's a tool, you know. And,
okay.
Like, but yeah, if you want to give me $1 million, you can.
Yeah. I'll ping it tonight, mate, don't worry.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, obviously, as a DJ, club nights tend to be, well, apart from students, which is midweek,
tends to be like Friday, Saturday, when people are going out at the same time.
Yeah.
What's your social life like in that sense?
I've actually taken quite a step back from it now. Because, like, last year, I was DJing about four to five nights a week.
Yeah.
And I didn't even see my mates. Because some of these gigs were in different cities as well.
So you had to travel a lot, did you?
Yeah, so, you know, it was pretty much 2 days. You know, I'd leave on the Friday,
yeah.
do Friday nights, and then I'd be back Saturday night, straight yeah. home, change into another nightclub.
My God.
I wouldn't really see my mates. To be honest, like, you know, it's one of them, it's a sacrifice you make, because you are working on social hours.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I'm a mate in the stand. But, you know, like, as I said, I've taken a step back from it this year because I'm doing a lot more, you know, I'm in final year of university as well.
Yeah, so you're focusing on that as well.
Yeah, so I can't be DJing until 4 in the morning if I'm flying at 8. You know, it's a very risky thing to do. So I've really have to take a step back from it now. So I'm still doing nights a lot more than I should be, but
yeah.
in terms of nights a week.
Yeah.
But not as much as I was last year where I was just, I was just deflated.
Just hammering it, yeah.
But that's going to be off topic. Social life is good.
Yeah.
I still speak to my mates.
Yeah.
It's just obviously the only difference is like when they're out getting smashed, I'm probably working.
Yeah, you're probably on the decks mixing.
Yeah, and I mean that's fine.
Yeah. You're happy with that then?
Yeah, I'm happy with it. At the end of the day, you know, if they can't be my mates for that reason, then they're not really mates.
Yeah, yeah. Do you know what that's I mean? True. But I suppose you can always meet up with them after you set or something.
A few of my mates will come to a gig of mine, and then we'll go after this because there's clubs and bars in Manchester until 10 in the morning, you know.
Oh yeah, yeah, true.
So
you just join them after work, or
yeah, nice. Yeah. Well, they'll just come with me, and they'll stand in the DJ box, they'll try and chips, you know, anything in the pot. And then after, you know, we'll go have a few drinks, have a chill, wind down, and I'll call it a night.
So people who are watching this are most likely producing young people who are wanting to.
Yeah.
DJ, what three pieces of advice would you give to anyone in that situation, no matter what their age is? What piece of three pieces?
It's not really advice, as I say, because I'd be wrong if we talk for advice, but there's a few things I will say. The first thing is what I said earlier.
Right.
The most important number one rule is just don't be a dickhead in this industry.
Right.
Because, I mean, people who reach the top are not big dickheads, right? But I can guarantee they will not get out of the start.
Yeah.
If you're an arsehole and you're just up and coming, like, you'll just stay up on coming and you'll stay an arsehole.
Yeah.
Like, you've got to really, you know, you've got to be humble, and you can't take things for granted, and you can't piss the wrong people off, and you can't think that anybody owes you anything, because nobody owes you anything, you know.
Yeah.
And when you're in clubs, you know, don't take the piss. You're not going to get booked, even if you're the best DJ in the world, a promoter's not going to want to book you again if you act like a bellend on the night, you know.
Yeah, true that.
They're not going to want to do it, like I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't care.
So be like polite and nice to everyone.
Yeah, I mean,
to an extent.
It's not something I should really have to say, but
yeah.
in general, if you've got a big ego, then leave it at home.
Yeah.
Because you know, like, that's not to say to be false, but
apart from like obviously marketing yourself, like on social media, you've got to say, look, I've done this. You can't just keep it to yourself because you're humble.
Yeah, of course. There is a line between being humble and, you know, sharing stuff.
Yeah.
Like I'll post stuff on thing, but like, you know, there's a lot of DJs and producers out there, and they make out to me, no, they're not.
Yeah.
Like, I'll openly say I'm pretty much a nobody compared to, you know,
right.
Who I want to be.
Yeah.
Who I'd like to be.
Right.
But, you know, there's a lot of people, and they'll get booked for these little slots here and there, and they make out like they're doing, you know, festivals and stuff.
Yeah.
And they'll just, you know, people see through it, man.
Yeah.
It's like, they really do, and you know, they're the ones who are just like, oh, you know what I mean?
You mean the ones who, like, show off, like, on Snapchat or whatever?
Yeah, swing the dicks about, like, genuinely just swing the dicks about, just, you know, making out like they're doing this, that and the other, when really they've not really got much going on.
Right.
But they're just so focused on promoting themselves on social media.
Yeah.
To make everybody else think and build this false image of success.
Yeah.
That when, you know, when it comes to people who are successful looking at them, they're like,
they can see right through it.
Yeah, absolutely.
The DJs,
I know, you know, do it all the time.
So, there's a quote, fake it till you make it. That's completely wrong in the music industry, is it?
No, that's the thing, it's not. You know, some DJs, you know, do kind of find success from it, but it's only if you do it right.
Right.
Okay. Do you know what I mean? But there's a line. You know, there is fake it till you make it.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course it is. You know, I faked it. You know, I faked it all the time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, and, yeah. But, at the same time, there's faking it, and then there's pretending to be somebody you're not. There's
right.
a big difference,
yeah.
you know, from faking it, like, yeah, you know, I've done this, I'm good, you know, da 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 da,
yeah.
and then being like, yeah, oh, such a hard grind, doing a festival, all that shit.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Okay. You know, making out like you're a personality, and you're a social figure, and you're booked for all these things when you're not. Because that's lying. Yeah, you know, that's really is lying, and it's exaggerating.
Right.
And that's what the DJs do, you know, they'll get something small and then make it seem massive.
Yeah.
That's not really faking it as such, I wouldn't say, as it is, you know, kind of just over-exaggerating.
Right, I see.
It's a thin line.
Okay.
Like, there's a lot of DJs, I know I'm going on a bit, but there's a lot of DJs which have made it purely through promoting themselves and marketing.
Yeah.
They are DJs, they're not producers, they've got to produce their own shit, whatever.
So have ghost producers do then?
Yeah. Okay. And that is faking it. Yeah. But at the same time, I can guarantee when they were up and coming, they weren't like, you know, they weren't making out like they were in that position which they wanted to be.
When they were starting out.
Yeah, they're not making out like they're Garrix when they've got 2,000 likes on Facebook.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which they bought. But, alright, second bit of advice, you know, obviously, yeah, just don't fake it and be humble, that's the first bit of advice.
Yeah.
Second bit of advice is, yeah, just don't do it for any other reason other than the love of music, I'd say.
Yeah.
Because, honestly, you know, if you're going into this with that sort of mindset, you know, I just want to be famous. And a lot of people do, especially now more than ever.
Exactly.
You know, DJs are a big deal now.
Yeah, it's social media, like Instagram and that, when people see it, like, wow, you know, yeah, I want that.
When I started, nobody really cared about DJing. I actually got made fun of for producing music in school a lot.
Yeah.
I got bullied quite a bit for it, yeah. When I was starting, and then a few years online, I think I was teaching some of the bullies how to produce music. Can you believe it?
My God, ironic.
But, well, it's just because I'm a nice guy. But, you know, but now there's a lot of hype about DJs, a lot of social media.
Yeah.
And people see that, and they want that lifestyle. And one, that's not the lifestyle. What you see on that 10-minute second, that is not the lifestyle. It's very different, and it's a lot darker than people think.
Right.
But they see it, and they want it, and they buy these controllers, and they're like, I want to fucking do Tomorrowland, and I want to become a techno DJ. All right, cool.
Yeah.
Like, they don't get anywhere, because there's all love.
Right.
There's a superficial desire for, you know, success and gratification.
Yeah.
But they don't love music. You don't love music.
No.
You love fame. You love shagging birds and sniffing drugs.
Yeah.
You know, you're a wasteland.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, that's what it is. I wouldn't use it. I've never used the term waste my life, but that's
interesting. First time for everything.
But, you know, do it because you love music. You love producing music. Don't expect to get anywhere from it, because, you know, a lot of people don't.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just produce music and just become so good at producing music that you're in a position where people are wanting that off you.
So do it, but not because obviously people think, oh, what career should I do? Oh, should I get a stable career, go to university and become an accountant or something?
Yeah, I'd absolutely say have a backup plan.
Okay.
Like, you know, produce music on the side and become good at it and love producing music.
Yeah.
But don't like...
Make that be your main income focus.
Yeah, of course. You know, on a financial aspect, absolutely. I think if you're an up-and-coming DJ who's not got anything... Like, nobody knows you and you're not getting regular gigs.
Yeah.
You can't, like, just devote your life to DJing. Like, do it, you know, when you're getting booked, you know, 5 days a week.
Yeah.
And you know you're just balling. Because you can make money from it, like, think we're wrong. But don't do it if you're just, like, starting out, you know. Because that's what I did when I was 18. That's what I did. I was like, well, you know, I've done this. I'm a DJ. And I found myself signing on the door. Oh
my God.
Yeah. At 18. When I got back from... No, before I went to Bulgaria.
Yeah.
Actually.
Oh, right, I see.
Cause then,
how long were you on that for? Like a few weeks?
Oh, like a few weeks, yeah. Okay. But, you know, because then that's when... Because things started to pick up for me.
Oh, sweet, yeah.
And then I was like, right, well, you know, I don't have to work shift jobs anymore.
Yeah.
I'm getting somewhere. I wasn't getting really as far as I thought I was.
No.
You know, until, obviously, Bulgaria came about. But that didn't happen then.
Right.
And then I soon realised, you know. So, as I said, I'm in university, I'm doing other stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm planning on getting a job when I leave uni. That's what I'm thinking of. I'm not thinking of doing this full-time still.
Sweet, okay. So what sort of job... So, at uni now, you're doing media studies, aren't you? I'm filming your media.
It'll probably be something to do with my degree, filmmaking, maybe.
Okay.
You know, or maybe flying. I quite like to become a flying instructor.
So you've got a lot of different ideas, like, where you want to go.
Yeah, I mean, it depends, because flying's expensive, that's the only thing. So
getting
instructor's license is quite a bit, so see what happens. But, yeah. And, you know, see what happens with that.
Cool. And so the first piece of advice is be nice to people. Second bit is do it because you love music, not for the money or fame.
Yeah.
Third bit of advice, what was it?
And the third thing I'd say, just for upcoming DJs, which is quite important, is don't draw comparisons. Because that's what I did, you know, I was like, wow, this kid's 15.
Yeah.
When I was like 16 and I was like, he's got these record deals. Like, I'm shit, like, I'm worthless.
Yeah.
You know, obviously I was younger then and my mentality had changed.
Yeah,
before it had. And I just found myself getting irritated by everything, and I found myself losing the love of it because I felt like I wasn't doing as good as everybody else. Right. When really, what you don't see is, you know, these guys, we don't know what they're doing, you know, they've got a big team behind them.
Yeah.
They probably didn't even produce their own shit.
Right, yeah.
But I didn't see that, I just saw the success, and I was like...
So you can't see everything that happens behind the scenes, basically?
Yeah, absolutely, you know, and I was working so hard, and I was like, why are these guys getting, you know, why are these guys just smashing it, and I'm just not, and I've been producing 2 years, and he did it in one.
Yeah.
And the thing is, everybody goes at their own pace.
Okay.
Every producer goes through their own journey, and their own love of music.
Right.
If they love music. So when you draw comparisons, it's quite unhealthy, really.
Yeah.
Because you sort of
start comparing your now to someone else's different timescale.
Exactly that. And, you know, you start to feel bad about yourself, and you start to feel like you're not doing things properly, and then you start losing the love of music.
Yeah.
You know, you start to then just give up.
Right.
Okay. You know, it's like I've been producing music 7 years, and this producer has been doing it 2 years, which are miles above me.
Yeah.
But I don't care.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm like...
You do you, don't you?
Yeah, I'll do me. You know, if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. But when it happens, that's when it's meant to happen. And that's something that's got to be learned.
Yeah.
Because, you know, yeah.
So you can do your best, just be consistent. And then when it happens, it happens. Don't, like... I suppose opportunity comes along here, doesn't it? Like, don't say no to opportunity.
Oh, absolutely. Never say no to an opportunity. Always take what you can.
Yeah.
And, you know, as I said, that's not to say, you know, oh, just don't try, you know, just do a bit here and there, and then expect that eventually that, because it won't. You have got to work hard. You have got to really...
But if you're working hard, I suppose if you enjoy it, though, it doesn't feel like hard work. It doesn't feel like you're working 9 to 5 or something. It doesn't feel like it's, like, labour, I suppose.
Yeah. For example, say now we're flying a plane.
Yeah, okay.
And we're at 5,000 feet, and then we've got to get to 10,000 feet.
Right.
We don't go, I want to climb, and just start stamping our feet and expect the plane to climb. You put the throttle in, and then the plane climbs. This is it. If you sit here and just go, I want to become famous, I'm going to try and do this, that was going to happen. If you just put the throttle in, put the work in, you'll climb.
Good analogy, or metaphor.
Well, yeah, whatever it is. But it's just, you know, in terms of what we're on, but that's pretty much what it is. You know, just, you know, don't think, you know, I've got to get, I've got to do this, I've got to do that. Just keep working, keep grinding, keep producing music, just love doing it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you can't, unless you just store the stash on your computer of tracks and don't tell anybody about them, you know, they'll get out there, people will clock onto it, you know, the internet's a great place for it.
Yeah.
Just put them on SoundCloud. But don't think, like, if I don't get a million plays, I'm shit. Because that's not, of course not.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I still, like, even today, I still get tracks rejected from loads of places.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It happens.
So, some DJs or producers might be, say, 30 or 40 or something. Or some might be 15.
Yeah.
You don't know who's watching. But what age? Would you say there's anything to do with age to being a DJ producer?
Oh, no. Absolutely not, man. Definitely not. That's a big thing.
Yeah.
Big deal, because, you know, it's producers... 15, 14, 13, 12, 10.
Yeah.
They're incredible.
Yeah.
You know, and there's producers 20, not 20, 30, 40.
Yeah.
You know, they was doing degrees in university on music production, and that was good.
Yeah.
Age doesn't like make a difference, you're you. And if you've got the talent, then you're going to excel.
Yeah, I suppose you see people like, you know, Craig Charles, the basically is an actor on Carnage Street.
Oh, right.
And Robot Wars presenter, you know that guy?
I don't watch Corey, but yeah.
Okay, I don't either, but I've seen it, you know, clips. Of course, yeah. But yeah, basically, he was at Snowbombing Festival in 2017 when I went.
Yeah.
And I didn't know he was a DJ. Like, he's a presenter, but yeah, he's DJ, so he mixes, like, old stuff. And so he's changed career completely. So would you say that's an example of how he's about, I don't know, he's about 40 or 50, and he's DJing.
Yeah, it's good.
So there's a lot of people who are maybe 35, 40, oh, I'm too old to DJ.
Oh, there's no age whatsoever, but, you know, no one really cares. If your music's good, then it's good. Simple as it's a track.
Yeah.
You know, if I like a song, like, you know, it's as simple as, like, if you're coming across a song on YouTube and it's a belter,
yeah.
You know, you're not going to Google the age of the person who made it and be like, oh, 45, just going to, you know what I mean? No, of course not, it's a good song. Fuck it. Yeah. Like, do you know what I mean? You know, and yeah, there is a lot of people going into it now, a lot of celebrities which did something else, now becoming DJs because it's easy to DJ, it's not hard. And, you know, if they've got the pull and the following, then. Cool.
And I suppose it's easier for them if they've got a lot of...
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Following. You know, a lot of reality stars, you know, they've got all this following from what they've done, and, yeah, they become DJs, they get booked.
What if there's someone who's, say, sat at home now watching YouTube, watching this, and he's 50-year-old, he's a bank manager, and he really wants to be a DJ? What advice would you give him?
Well, that's a good question. Yeah. I'd say do it. You know, obviously... it's the same thing applies for everybody. You know, don't quit your job if you've not, like, got anything to help you. Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
Like, you know, because regardless of your age, regardless of what you've done, you're still a DJ.
You still need to eat, don't you?
Yeah, well, of course, yeah, but also you're still a DJ, which nobody knows.
Right.
You know, you're just another DJ wanting to get a gig. No matter what age you are, if you're fucking 600, you're still another DJ wanting to get a gig.
Right.
And, you know, so, you know, I wouldn't say like, oh, quit your job, yeah, just blow it off, be spontaneous, that's what life's about. No, of course it's bloody not. You know, you do your job,
yeah,
and then DJ, you know, get yourself some gigs, and then if you're lucky enough to be in a position where you can just live from DJing,
yeah,
then do it.
Then you quit your job and then you'll be able to
DJ. Because a lot of people romanticise it and they all, you know, give this vision of empowerment and say, oh, just quit everything and pursue your passion.
Yeah.
And as much as I'm an advocate for that, you know, because I literally have booked one of my flights and just done what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
At the same time, is risky.
So I've done that to be fair as well.
Yeah, of course. Risky, do you know what I mean? And it's great, you know, if it pays off. But, you know, when you're talking DJing, which is a very saturated market.
Yeah.
You know, where there's, you know, it is hard to find work because everyone's doing it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
that's true.
You know, don't.
But it's still possible though, isn't it? Even though it's saturated.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. No, definitely. I mean, you know, that's what it all comes down to, just, you know, being a likeable person.
And being unique, I suppose, don't
you? I mean, but to be fair, like, you know, like, it's not like promoters, like, banging my door down to book me.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I get bookings here and there, like, but I'm not, like, you know, as I said, I'm not, like, in demand. I wouldn't say yes.
Okay.
I'm just lucky enough to have a few gigs.
Sweet.
You know, which is fucking brilliant.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all I want, really. Like, I just like DJing, I'm happy, you know, DJing in 5 hours.
Yeah, sweet. So what's the best club that you've been to so far? I'll wrap it up short, don't worry. So,
oh, no, it's right, you take as long as you want.
What's the best club that you've been to so far to DJing? Like, or the best venue, should
I say?
To DJing?
Obviously, Boomerangs in Magaluf is my home.
Right.
Like, sort of thing. After last season, I just felt like I lived there. 7 nights a week, working there.
Seven nights a week?
Yeah, you don't get any days off. So
what if you're ill? Do you have to, like, have you ever been ill when you've been doing
If you're ill, obviously you'll get covered. Like, don't be wrong, they're not like dictators.
So,
I mean, even if I just said to my boss, like, I just don't feel like I want to work tonight.
Yeah.
You know, I don't feel up to it. I wouldn't do a good job. I'm sure there'd be some sort of, you know, there's always cover going.
But you just wouldn't be paid for that night, for example, would you?
Yeah, of course not. Yeah, you know, as it is with any job. But yeah, you know, like, well, it's like 6 days, I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, but. Yeah, so Boomerangs is like my home. I love the place to bits.
Okay.
But, you know, in terms of clubs, I should enjoy DJing. The O2 Ritz was incredible.
Oh.
In Manchester. Victoria Warehouse Manchester was off the wall. The Manchester Academy.
Yeah.
I love that. I really, really love that.
So, have you met a lot of famous DJs at the moment who the audience might know?
Yeah, of course. Loads. So
I know Oliver Heldens is one guy.
Yeah, met Oliver Heldens. Cool guy. There's a big list on my phone. DJs that I've met, bloody hell, Tom Zanetti, Cocaine, Majestic, Entrance, Marvin Hoons, DJ Ironic, he's a really cool guy. The Stickmen, DJ with them quite a bit.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, they're actually really good mates of mine from Wales. They're really, really nice guys.
That's decent.
Have
I met Don Diablo?
I've not met Don Diablo. He's a cool guy though.
Is he?
I hear he's a really cool guy, yeah. I've worked with Jack Shizzle every Friday in Leeds.
Yeah.
And PBH, I've known him for quite a while. Actually, PBH,
he did Project, didn't he?
Yeah.
But
he's on Hexagon quite a bit. They're on Hexagon. Oh, PBH and Jackson on his labels. So I know PBH from Magaluf.
Decent.
He's again both really top guys, like awesome geezers. Yeah, who else? Like, bloody hell.
Oliver Heldens, that's one person, but
Julian Jordan, he was cool.
Oh yeah, he did a TED tour, didn't he? He's on Spinning now, Sound Spinning, isn't he?
Yeah, well, he was one of the first guys who made a track with Garrix.
They
made BFAM in 2000.
Both Dutch, aren't they?
Both Dutch, yeah. He's a sound guy, man, probably sort of top geezer.
Have you ever produced with him?
Julian Jordan?
Yeah.
No. No, I mean, he's like proper famous, man.
Yeah.
I probably would one day. I'd like to. But yeah, no, when I saw him, he was just in Bulgaria.
Yeah.
He was doing a gig in, you know, Sunny Beach, and I just got chatting to him after.
Was he on next to you, or what was the scenario? Like, how did you meet?
No, it was under the same company.
Yeah.
But I wasn't DJing that day. It was a daytime party.
Oh, see, right, okay.
But I just came down to like his music, obviously, and then I just got chatting to him.
Oh, right.
I'm not producing any massive DJs, really.
Who's the biggest DJ that you've produced with?
I don't produce with DJs, honestly. I've not really done much with it, because I don't know. I just, it's a bit weird. I've tried in the past producing with other DJs.
Yeah.
And I just can never, like, we can never get a track out. But,
yeah,
you know, just because something happens or, you know, it just never materialises. That's not to say, you know, it's a permanent thing. It's just I've never been able to finish a track just because things have come up.
I mean, like due to your schedule sort of thing, like not being free to do it.
Yeah, it's not that. It's just we work on it. You know, it's happened every time I've tried. Really. We work on it. We get really into it. And then we'll start tweaking it. And then eventually we'll start working on other projects and it's forgotten.
Oh, I see, right.
But I mean, one producer we've quite a lot, Ryan Miles, and he's very good. He's gotten miles, like, you know, in the for last year he was like there, and now he's like fucking up there, like.
My God.
He's really good, yeah. And I work a lot with him. Actually, we worked together on a track.
Yeah.
Which should be coming out. But as I said, I don't usually. It's rare for me to sit in the studio with a producer.
Yeah.
On a track, cause I just,
so you prefer working on your own, in your own headspace sort of thing?
Yeah. I mean, if a producer was to like send me some stems over, I'll bounce with that, that's sick. And I wouldn't mind if they sat in the studio with me, but I've got such a particular way of doing it.
You wouldn't feel comfortable in that, you wouldn't feel efficient in sort of working
with it? I don't know how I'd feel, because I've never really done it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But because I've got my way of doing it, I don't know how I would do it.
Right.
The producer, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So, I suppose if you were to do it, you'd want them to send over files rather than them be with you at the time. So, you wouldn't want to do it, like, simultaneously? You'd want to do it, like, pass me the file, I'll work on it and pass it back?
Send it over if they like it, you know, tweak it. Like, I like sitting in the studio with producers, but I've just not got the ability to, like, not talk and get distracted and then...
Like, socialise while you're doing it, basically. You can't...
Yeah. And then I just end up taking over or, you know, something happens and then I'm just like, right, come on. So... I mean, it's alright, like, I've done it a few times and it's been fun to be fair, it's just, but not much gets done, like.
Okay.
Yeah.
I see.
Not as much as it could be.
Sweet. Who would you want to produce with?
Oh, Sam Shua.
Sam Shua.
Sam Shua, Darling Police, I think that's his name. Sam Shua, he's not as well known over here, but he's just incredible at producing, man. He's great, like, he's,
How old is he?
I think he's 22.
Okay.
I think he's 22.
So age is you?
Yeah, well, I'm 21, but he makes, you know, sort of minimal techno, but with a sort of exoticism influence, which is, I've never really heard music like it before.
Yeah.
And I love his tracks.
It's proper unique then.
Yeah. Also Township Rebellion. I like their stuff as well. Again.
Hey, who's that again? Township.
Township Rebellion.
Okay, cool.
I'd love to make some with them because it's on the same spectrum as Sam Shua.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, other producers, you know, like Tekros producers, Biscuits.
Biscuits.
That's his name, Biscuits. He's just sick.
Is he a DJ as well?
Yeah, he does.
Okay, right.
He made On the Floor. He's just on a track with Sonny Fedora. You know, there's a lot, you know, Low Stepper, Fisher.
Oh, yeah, Fisher, yeah.
I just want to be around Fisher. He's just a bloody cool guy. Do you know what I mean? I just think I'd have a laugh with him.
Cool, so yeah, thanks for coming on the show anyway,
Dave. Oh, yeah, it's fine, thanks for having me. Sick.
Yeah, hopefully we'll have you back for more stuff. I have many ideas.
Sick.
So, yeah, cool.
All right, so it is. Have a good one.